Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura Whiffler, and my co-host Emily Jensen will be joining me here soon as we continue our series talking about being whole women in Christ, not just moms. But before we get into the show today, I want to remind you that Mother's Day is around the corner. It's May 12th. So don't forget that you can make a donation to Risen Motherhood in honor or in memory of a mom in your life. So when you do this, we will send a note on your behalf to your designated recipient. And this is a great way to share with your own mom or spiritual mom in your life just how much she shaped your faith journey. Head on over to our show notes for all of the details. Okay, so on today's show, we're going to be talking about forgiveness. And we know this is a really broad topic, and we understand that we can't possibly cover all of the intricacies and experiences at play for you personally. But our hope on this show is to provide you with a few thought starters and scripture references to understand forgiveness. But if needed, we want to encourage you to reach out to a trusted friend, pastor, or counselor to speak to your personal situation and circumstances as you work through forgiveness in your own relationships. So with that, let's get to the show. Okay, Emily, here's my question for you. What is harder, forgiving other people or forgiving yourself?
Ooh. Both are hard, but probably myself, because I think that historically when something bad happens, I tend to believe like somehow it's my fault, somehow I caused it or contributed to it. And so I tend to always put like a lot of weight on myself when something fails. And I've really had to process through that knee-jerk reaction that I have and recognize that, yes, well, it always takes two to tango. Like, I may not be the sole contributing factor mm-hmm. in every difficult situation. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I mean, it can kind of go back and forth because I was thinking about this even more, and I feel like relationally, I have a lot of really great people in my life, so I don't feel like I'm like in this constant state of needing to forgive. I mean, probably it's just like between my husband and I, you know, like the natural marital conflicts that occur because they see you in real life. And I do think I have sometimes a harder time to forgive, maybe just specific to my husband. Oh, sorry, my husband. But also I hear you on forgiving myself, especially just on areas where I know I've messed up. So I don't know that I take like misplaced blame or anything. But I do think when I know that I have sinned and I know that I've treated someone wrongly or behaved wrongly or done something wrong, whatever, I have a really hard time moving on. And instead I just replay it over and over and over and ruminate on it and can't seem to walk forward because it's just on replay mm-hmm. in my head.
And I think that term, you know, forgiving ourselves is one that, you know, is common. People use it, know what we mean. But really, as Christians, what we mean is receiving
mm-hmm. yeah.
true forgiveness from God and being able to walk forward without guilt, shame, and condemnation, knowing that you are made right with God. And it seems like maybe the idea of forgiveness and motherhood are like, why are we talking about this? What do these things have to do with one another? But we started this entire series because we wanted to look at some of the things over time in motherhood that you realize like, ooh, I need to deal with this, or I need to repair this, or I need to become more aware of this part of myself that I maybe haven't paid as much attention to because of the demands of motherhood. And I think that having unforgiveness in our lives is something that can really impact not only who we are as women, but it can impact how we mother directly. And there's a real link there that can be hard to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this can come from anything, a betrayal of a friendship or a parent or pastor who has a major moral failure, our own kids sin against us or our sins or failures. Maybe you're someone who grew up in a very highly legalistic home that, or you were hurt or abused in your home. I don't know, maybe it's even like you were bullied at one point and you're just carrying that through your husband's failures. And there's just so many ways I think that we can be wronged and that we can do wrong. And many of those, all of those things require forgiveness and learning how to offer it to others and to receive it ourselves. And, you know, I think if we don't take the time to do that, you're right, it comes out in motherhood and it can come out in a lot of different ways. I think for some of us, we try to work harder, you know, to be more perfect. I won't do that again. I know that's for me. It's like, okay, I'm going to put that behind me. I'm never going to do it again.
Or I'll never be that way.
I'll never be that way. Yeah. Like that other person. Maybe it kind of comes out in a hidden addiction or some sort of other outlet that we need, like maybe it's shopping or drinking or social media. We can take out our hurt on others. Sometimes this is in socially acceptable ways. So that might be with gossip or with trolling other people online, or it might be something where behind closed doors, there's maybe some surprising ways that we react and respond to things. And there's a hidden anger problem, or you shame your children for things. And a lot of the times that just comes because you're hurt, you know, hurt people hurt people. It's that whole saying. And so forgiveness or unforgiveness does not stay contained. It bleeds out.
Oh, it's so true. I had someone describe this to me as kind of trying to hold a beach ball underwater. And, you know, it's like it wants to rise to the surface. And so in order to keep it submerged, you have to keep your hands on it at all times. And it's constantly moving around. And yeah, sometimes you have energy to hold it there for a long time. But as you age and you get tired and you get worn down, it's like it takes more and more effort and your arms get tired. And sometimes things come up in your life, like, you know, grief or transitions or, you know, something is kind of triggering you, and all of a sudden, like that beach ball pops out of the water, you're unable to hold it down anymore. And it can kind of start to feel like, wait, why did this happen out of nowhere? Why am I reacting this way? Why am I struggling with this addiction or this propensity towards something that I shouldn't be doing? Or why am I reacting so big? Or why am I suddenly struggling with crying about this? Or I can't be around this person, or I can't do this certain thing. And really, the reality is that something in our life has dredged up a thing that we haven't dealt with, that either we didn't know was down there or we knew was down there and we were hoping we would never have to face it. We were hoping we would never have to deal with it. We wanted to carry that hurt with us forever, or that grudge against ourselves forever. We wanted to hold that bitterness, but then we're no longer able to. And then I think when that happens, we have a real choice to make of, okay, am I going to face this? Am I going to work through some healing, some repair work, some taking these things to God? Or do I want to like grab that beach ball and try to like stuff it back under again and see how long I can hold it till the next time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the good news is that a measure of healing is totally possible. You know, God is kind, and none of us are going to experience full or complete healing this side of heaven. And I think that there can still be ripple effects and there can still be scars carried, but God can bring us a measure of healing. And we kind of can think about those epic stories from beauty to ashes. And the idea of Joseph's story, you know, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And so forgiveness is one of those things that I think can go by undetected, like you're talking about, Emily, like we keep shoving it down. And for the purposes of today's show, I mean, there are huge, deep offenses that is not just as simple as like, I'm going to choose to forgive, you know? So we want to acknowledge that, that something that might be coming to mind for you right now is something that needs therapy. It needs more work. It needs conversations. And we're going to talk about some of those things. But we also want to say today that we're talking about all types of things, but we're also talking about the little grievances that we hold. And perhaps we're more so talking about those for what we're able to cover in the show content today. But even those little things of seeing, you know, maybe your child sinned against you, or maybe your husband sinned against you, or maybe it's just being grumpy and frustrated about someone's laziness or whatever. Those are little things. It doesn't have to be this huge mammoth thing that you're harboring bitterness over forever. But even those little things that happen along the way, we're called to offer forgiveness. And those are the things that can come out over time if we don't deal with them.
I think forgiveness is one of those words that we think we know the definition to, but we don't always have a good handle on. And so we wanted to kind of break it down here and talk about it scripturally. And the word forgiveness is a pardon for an offense. So it's ceasing to feel resentment against an opposing party, or, you know, it's literally just to let it go. And sometimes I think it's helpful to think of the opposite of something to understand its definition. And if forgiveness is letting something go, Unforgiveness is holding an offense against someone and choosing to actively resent or punish them for it. And the reality with unforgiveness is that it always impedes the ability to have an intimate relationship. It always puts a block in between, and it makes it so that true peace and reconciliation in a relationship cannot occur. And really, like, this is of course going to intertwine with the gospel story, but that's why we need God's forgiveness, because our sin put a chasm between us and God. Isaiah 59:2 says, "Your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you." And so that's a reality for us. And so forgiveness, right? God coming in and saying, "I will not hold this against you," is essential for us to have a relationship with God. And that's true of our person-to-person relationships as well.
Yeah. I mean, forgiveness is commanded by God. It's not an option for a believer. And I think that's something.
This is so hard.
It's really sobering, right? It's kind of like, oh man, I have to forgive. And, you know, you think about, I don't know if we have it in there. Oh yeah. 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 Matthew 18. I was thinking about Peter's question, "Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I have to forgive him? As many as 7 times. And then Jesus responds, "I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. And, you know, we see it also in Matthew 6, "If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Luke 6:37, "Forgive and you will be forgiven." Matthew 6:12, "Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors." That's in the Lord's Prayer. And so we just see that, hey, I mean, the most sobering one might be Matthew 6. "If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours."
Ooh, I mean, those are hard words. And I think in our modern culture, particularly when we hear you need to let something go and refuse to be the one to punish them or enact revenge or to hold bitterness. I mean, that's countercultural.
Yeah, it's wild idea.
And it's offensive to our egos and our spirit. And, you know, it's kind of hard to stomach. And yet I love the parable of the unforgiving debtor from Matthew 8, chapter 21 through 35. But essentially, a man is forgiven a tremendous debt, like a huge debt that he could never repay. And then he turns around and he refuses to forgive a very, very small debt that someone owes him. And then this is what the master says: "I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I have had mercy on you?" Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. "That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." And so, like, according to this, like, Christians should be the most forgiving people on the planet, and we should, like, deeply understand what it means to, like, have deserved something and then not gotten what he deserved. And there's also like this really beautiful quote that Jesus says in Luke 7:47 that I feel like should become my life verse. As I was reading it, I was like, this sums up how I feel about everything. I'm trying not to cry. Okay. "Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." And just this idea of, like, because our sins are forgiven, like, we can just abundantly forgive others. And it's an example of how much we love because we were loved. And it's just, if we don't realize how much we were forgiven for, we will be like that unforgiving debtor and hold all the little things against everyone else.
I had someone say to me once, it was silly, it was off the cuff, about I was late, and I said, "I'm so sorry I'm late." And they said, "Oh, honey, I am the greater debtor. Grace is all I've got." And I know, I was like, what a line. And
that was just for being late.
I know. But it's something that was said in kind of a flippant way to me. And yet it has stuck with me. Anytime someone has hurt me and sinned against me, I have just thought, grace is all I've got. I mean, I think that there is a real perspective. This isn't even what we were planning on talking about right now, but oh my goodness, there's real perspective that is put in place when you realize how great of a sinner you are against God and how much has been forgiven for you. And I mean, what is it to you to offer forgiveness to that person? It's just,
Yeah.
I mean, we're both kind of tearing up right now.
I know. There's a lot to get into there. I mean, even like the story where Jesus, like, you know, all the religious leaders are accusing a woman of adultery and he gets down and he like writes something in the sand and it's very mysterious what he wrote there. But he's like, he who is without sin, you know, throw the first stone.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously God worked in that situation and must have brought to mind some things that they had all done, and they all backed off very quietly and left the situation.
Yes.
And, you know, there just is a very real reality about that, of just even being humble enough to let the Spirit like bring to mind like areas where you have sinned, where you have not been the perfect friend, you've not been perfect in your mothering, you've not been the perfect wife, you've not been the perfect daughter. And again, those things are not for condemnation, but they are for perspective.
Right. That's right.
You know,
what's interesting too about that story is that they leave oldest to youngest. And I think there is such an interesting aspect to that about just the maturity of life. And as you grow and experience life, you realize how much you are not perfect and haven't done that. And I think that's really true, right? It's easier sometimes to harbor bitterness or unforgiveness when you're young and, you know, you kind of think you're still perfect. And
I know.
As you get older, you start realizing, no,
whoops,
like we're all messed up.
So
oh, man.
We've talked about what forgiveness is, but it's really important that we talk about what forgiveness isn't.
Yes.
Because as we hear this word thrown out and what it means, it is so radical. It is so life-changing, and yet it doesn't mean that we get walked upon or all those questions or objections and come up. And so I think that even though forgiveness can feel like letting someone go is letting them off the hook and it's letting them get away with that, that's not what it is, because God says he is in charge mm-hmm. of justice and he will repay.
Yeah.
And also, there is very practical wisdom and different authorities in our lives, like things we can do that set up boundaries.
Right.
And there are still consequences for actions, but there's a difference between consequences and bitterness.
Yeah.
There's a difference between consequences and I'm going to resent you. There's a difference between consequences and I'm going to be passive aggressive, or I'm going to retaliate by withholding something that you love, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think there's a real heart attitude difference where you can both forgive and set boundaries and say, our relationship needs to change in the future, or I'm expecting some action here if you really say you're not going to do this again. And I mean, I think this can be as simple as, you know, with grandparents, and, you know, maybe you brought your kids over to their house and, you know, your parents didn't follow the rules exactly like how you'd laid them out, and you pick them up later and hear like, oh, they actually watched a movie you didn't want them to watch, or they actually, you know, ate a bunch of candy and you didn't want them to have sweets after a certain time in the night. And I think there can be a real temptation to store that up in your heart and go, well, next time grandma and grandpa ask, I'm only going to let them go over there for half the time, or I'm only going to let them go over there supervised, or I'm only going, you know, and it's like, you can kind of start to do it. And I think you can do it in like a way that's, I'm trying to punish them for what they did. Or there's a way that's like forgiving. And also, hey, maybe next time there is some prep I can do. Or if there's areas where I really want to hold the, you know, like there's other solutions to that. I don't know. Am I saying the same thing? I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth.
No.
Okay.
I think you're right. I mean, I think it is kind of a fine line, and some of it is a state of the heart.
Yeah.
And just recognizing that what you're saying is forgiveness does not mean that you don't have boundaries or they're not consequences for someone's actions.
Right.
It doesn't mean you have a free pass to come back into my life and hurt me again, you know? And so that might be with grandparents. And I think that's a really good example, because it's easy to store up all of the ways that they don't follow our instructions and start to feel angry and feel violated. And in some ways that could be very true. It comes out in the posture of our hearts as we say, hey, I want to have a conversation with you. I want to talk about this. And sometimes it's reactionary of like, okay, they are not willing to change, this person, their behaviors or whatever. And so now our family has to make some decisions of how we're going to respond to that. And you're not doing that in anger to get back at them. You're doing that because you love your children.
Yes.
And you want to maintain relationship with the grandparent as much as is humanly possible. And so there's just a very big difference in the motivation of why you're making those decisions, and perhaps like the way that you're communicating them and the severity of them at times. It's kind of like, hey, give a sometimes I think we can quickly be like, okay, I'm going to slam the door, but instead offering some chances at redemption.
Yeah. I think it's good to remember biblical forgiveness is not a denial of justice. And we see that, right, evidence in the cross. Like, God forgave sinners, but there was still wrath and punishment for sin that had to be paid. And it was paid by Jesus. And if someone's sin is not paid for by Jesus, ultimately it will not be gotten away with. They will pay for it. And so it's really interesting because I think sometimes that's where our mind goes of like, well, if I'm forgiving, then there's no justice. And that's not the case. Those things can be held together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we can refuse to resent someone or pursue our own form of punishment and have healthy boundaries, like what you were talking about.
Yeah, totally. And I think the other thing that kind of can feel like when I forgive this person, then that means that I'm admitting it didn't hurt me or that I'm not, you can start to feel like, is it letting them off the hook in the sense that it wasn't really even that wrong or that bad or that grievous? And that's something that when we forgive someone, that doesn't deny the hurt. And
if anything, you're saying, this hurt me, therefore I need to forgive you because it offended me.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I think that that's really important, especially as I teach my kids about forgiveness, that it's one of those things where I'm like, no, this doesn't mean that, you know, oh, it doesn't matter. Like how you hurt me doesn't have any credence at all. But instead, it's you can still honor the pain. And you can still admit that things are hard. You can admit that what they did was wrong to you. And in fact, it's like this crucial step to get to forgiveness where you can actually own the fact that you were wronged and hurt and not just sweep it under the rug. I think that's a really important and healthy thing to do.
Yeah. In fact, it can help us grow in wisdom, I think, when we're able to admit how something hurt us and consider what it might look like to walk forward in that relationship. It's like, okay, what would it look like for me to be more discerning in this situation? What would it look like for me to love others well in this situation? And so, yeah, that's just the main thing we wanted to convey is like forgiveness does not erase relational consequences, legal consequences, anything like that. And yet we don't have to store up bitterness in our heart.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, as we work through forgiveness, I think there are some offenses that it's sort of like, hey, we just can make the decision to forgive that person. It doesn't take a lot of rocket science. We know like, hey, my husband said he was sorry for not doing what he said he was going to do and we're going to move on.
You know? You can forgive someone before they say they're sorry.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or if they never say they're sorry.
Also important. Also important that we should do that. Yeah. That's key here. But then sometimes it does take some work and some process to forgive grievances that we have in our lives and, or things that our own selves have done and to forgive ourselves. And so I think a big piece of this is being willing to be vulnerable with the right people about sharing and speaking about what happened to you, maybe what you did, what hurt you, how you feel about it. You know, it's that whole just bringing things into the light that the gospel talks about all the time. You are not the only person that has experienced this. There are probably unique facets to your story that will always only be yours, but God is, you know, in his strange, mysterious way that this life is, our sufferings help one another. And so there are other people out there who have experienced similar things and can help you walk through that. You know, it doesn't have to be professional counseling. It certainly can be, but it might be just with a friend or your spouse or a mentor or a pastor. I think it's one of those things that don't feel like you have to share it with the whole world or admit it in front of the church or something like that. Just a couple of strategic people, bringing them into your life and sharing with you. I mean, that is a huge start and a huge beginning to the path of forgiveness.
It's good too to remember that like it can be short sometimes. Sometimes for these smaller offenses, you know, it's something that can just happen very momentarily and then you don't think about it ever again and you just move on. For some of these bigger things, it may be the work of a lifetime. And it may be something that you have to keep revisiting over and over again. And when that person hurts you again, you're like the 70 times seven person. And you have to keep going, yep, I'm going to forgive again. I'm going to forgive again. I'm going to forgive again. And again, with counseling and prayer and wrestling with the same hurts and all of those different things, are God uncovering more and more layers of the things that are hurting you or where you need healing. So it's good to just remember, like, just because this issue comes up again and you may have to think about it doesn't mean, you know, you've not forgiven. Like, it may be something you have to keep choosing, you know, even though it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as hard and as uncomfortable as these things are, there's so much good in seeking God's healing to heal our wounds, to choose forgiveness. It's really ultimately, as we choose to forgive, we're freeing up our hearts to love God and love others more fully. It can break generational patterns of sin and things where we're kind of living in reactionary or fear-based motherhood. And I think that there's something really beautiful about forgiveness allowing us to do what we talked about on that first show, which is making God our orbit and to fully submit to Him and what He commands. And so when He is that center of our focus, when we've kind of eradicated many of these hurts and grudges and bitterness, we can mother from a place of peace and not as a reaction to what was or what wasn't done to us or what we did. And so that's exciting, I think, is that the freedom that is on the other side of forgiveness to allow us to fully enter into motherhood as God would have created us to be.
My name is Katie McDowell, and I'm part of the Risen Motherhood community because when I get distracted by issues that seem so important in the moment, I need the reminder that Jesus paid it all and that I can live my motherhood with joy because of that.
Risen Motherhood is a nonprofit organization made possible by our generous donors for women just like you. If you'd like to support the ministry, please go to risenmotherhood.com/give.